Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. And welcome. I'm just having some stew. It's Monday, the 28th of October, 2024. Not really having some stew. It's, I don't know what the time is, 7:30, something like that, in the morning. And it's very nice to welcome you to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm just trying to slip my feet into a pair of slippers, which... that when I have socks on, they just feel a little bit too tight. I think I've got the wrong size, although I'm convinced that the previous slippers I had, these are quite expensive ones, but I was bought some years ago, and they lasted for bloody ever. So I thought, well, in that case, rather than doing what I used to do, is just get some cheap old things that would last about 6 months and then fall apart, I would get these more expensive ones. What I actually need, I think... is a shoehorn. Looks like this one's coming apart. Oh no, it's just the wool, real wool on the inside. I believe it's real wool. Anyway, slipping those on, and there they go. Anyway, welcome along. It's a Monday morning. It's an overcast morning down here on the south coast. It's an earlier than normal morning because we've gone back to Greenwich Mean Time. Oh, they're so mean. They're so mean with their time. Give us some more time, I say to them, but no, we will only give you just sufficient, which is very mean, not generous at all. Anyway, yesterday we had a friend come over called Ed, who is a very nice bloke, and we had a good old chin chat with him, smoked a pipe or so. He's got a pipe, didn't bring it though, but he has got a pipe, and he's ordered some tobacco, which apparently will arrive this week, so he's very much looking forward to indulging, don't you know? And in fact, I do know. Do you want another cup of tea or anything, darling? Same again? I will collect the cups from up here on the mock table. It's not mock Tudor, it's a mock table made from an old wicker basket that's actually for linen. Or clothes, whatever you want to call it. Linen basket. But it's funny, isn't it? You don't just put linen in a linen basket. You might put cotton in a linen basket, but you don't say, I've got a cotton basket, do you? Or I've got a synthetics basket. I've got a basket case, and that might well be me. But anyway, enough of that. Let's just fill up the water jug so we've got the chance to have a nice cup of tea or whatever. There it is. So today, what have I got on today? Clothes, of course, yes. Usual attire. Bashing the microphone there, if you may have noticed. I have an interview at 1 o'clock with a very interesting interview today. The man claims that he has travelled through time. That he has been written about in the past. We're all travelling through time.
That's what I was about to say.
We're all travelling through time, but he has travelled from a past time. I forget what he is. He says, let me just read what I wrote.
Travelled from a hobby?
Yes, the last man time traveller or something. He claims that he appears in Mary Shelley's, oh yes, The Last Man, and he can prove it. Now, it sounds like a spurious claim, of course, on the face of it, but I'm very open-minded and I'm sure it'll make an interesting episode. So, that's really what that's about.
Excellent.
Waiting for the water to filter before I can make you a cup of tea, my lovely. So I am going to very briefly have a look in the English year at our journalists and see what they are waffling on about on this fine morrow that isn't fine, but could be if the sun came out and the clouds shifted. 28th, I think I said, and we have two entries here, and they are thus... this is from S.T. Coleridge, 1799, in North Riding, in Yorkshire. He says, River Gretna, near its fall into the Tees. Right, that's not a complete sentence. Black round spots from 5 to 18 inches in the decaying leaf of the sycamore. So there we are. We are now greatly... thank you very much to Geoffrey Gigson for picking out that, if that was the only thing you could find from S.T. Coleridge, or indeed any other writer. But William Allingham, who I don't think we've had... Oh, we may have had once or twice. In 1868,
in the New Forest in Hampshire says, "Walk alone into forest. Spindle tree seeds, maple yellow like a ripe quince." Well, you sound like a ripe quince, because I think it's walking alone into the forest, not walk alone. Spindle tree seeds, maple yellow like a ripe quince. I think I might use that. You look like a ripe quince.
It's very What's left quince?
Well, ripe.
A ripe quince.
Like a ripe.
Oh, quince.
Like two peas in a pod. Pardon?
Quince is a fruit.
It is a fruit, yes, that's right. And you look like a ripe quince.
Is it like a plum?
I think it is plum-like. I think we're plumbing the depths of our knowledge.
I think so.
To find the barrel. Scraping it and getting that little scum that is a mixture of rotten wood.
No, we don't need any of that. There's plenty of that on the internet.
Oh, yes, just very true. And most of them watch my shows and make trollish remarks. The trolls out there. Anyway, so that was it. So it wasn't very enlightening on the English year. Thank you very much. I'm sure one could have just made something up. See, when you've got a book like this, you could just make up the author and say, oh, yes, what's his name? Philip Mercer, 1832, said, "Wandered lonely as a chough across the hills.
Rainy bluff."
Yes. "There I saw, there I made a massive guff as I climbed up the trees." It was tough. Yes, exactly. It would have been much more funny. But maybe I have to write one myself. 365 entries of the works of...
Speaking of Philip Mercer, though.
Yes.
There's another one that needs to be done.
Yes, Philip Mercer book needs to be written. I am writing my book. It's going very well. I've got 50 pages in. Chapter 3, coming to the end of chapter 3, must be. It's all very exciting at the moment. So... more of that to come. And I will read you some bits, but not yet. Not yet. Well,
Tease.
Get the tease. Oh, talking of tease.
Oh, yeah. Get the tease in.
Get the tease in. What else? I've been thinking about what I'm going to talk about in the video today. But I don't want to tell you because that will ruin the surprise. Oh, the water is still... Not that it will be a surprise. I think, though, I may get slated in today's one because I want to touch on a sensitive subject that people will be sensitive about. Not everybody. Some people will totally agree with me. But others will make some excuses as to why what I'm talking about is the way that I'm talking about. And, I think that's their affair. So whilst the water is doing its thing... Let's crack open another book, shall we? I haven't got any more new books to come in, but the Grass-Fed Nation, Getting Back to the Food We Deserve by Graham Harvey is a good book. It's a good book.
I was trying to make a cracking sound when you opened the book.
Ah, yes. And I'm just trying to see where I am in it. Well, let's pick and choose. This is chapter 2. How grass makes you healthy. Get on your hands and knees. There's a bit of exercise for you.
Get your nose down in there.
Get your nose buried into the fauna. Is it fauna or flora?
Flora.
And not the butter stuff.
No. That's not butter.
That's not butter. It's not even good for you. Right, here we go. Born in the years following World War II, the baby boomer generation had a lot going for them. Unlike earlier generations, they didn't get sent off to war. The university education was paid for by the state, and for graduates and non-graduates alike, there were plenty of jobs on offer. But perhaps the greatest advantage of all has gone unnoticed. The baby boomers were the last generation to grow up on real foods, that is, grass-fed foods. For as long as there have been humans occupying this land we call Britain, we've eaten the meat of grazing animals. For the past 5,000 years or so, we've also drunk their milk or made butter and cheese from it. Throughout our history, these foods were the basis of the nation's diet. No one questioned the nutritional benefits. Today, we eat meat and dairy foods from animals fed on grain, not grass. This would have seemed extraordinary to past generations. The idea of taking wheat and other edible grains and feeding them to livestock. Yet a good deal of our meat, together with most of our milk and dairy food, comes from animals and poultry eating large amounts of starchy cereal grains. These dumbed-down versions of traditional foods, together with processed foods containing wheat flour and sugar, have brought in their wake a host of chronic degenerative diseases. There's no great surprise. It's exactly what many doctors and scientists predicted when we started out on this path more than half a century ago. Among them was nutritionist and academic Dr. Hugh Sinclair, who directed the Oxford Nutrition Survey during World War II. His job was to collect data on the diets of different groups in society, from pregnant women to manual workers. From these, he attempted to establish links between diet and disease, as part of his work, he got the chance to compare the health of hunter-gatherers in northern Canada with that of Air Force pilots. He found that there were big differences, particularly in the build-up of cholesterol in various parts of the body. Now, hang on a minute. We know that cholesterol, of course, is good for us, actually. He measured up these deposits in the skin, the arteries, and in the eyes, and in the cornea, and in the lens that forms where cataracts are formed. He was astonished to find that there were no cholesterol deposits in native peoples, not even in the elderly ones. But among the young pilots, all of whom had been selected for their fitness and for eating what they considered healthy diets, 1 in 10 showed cholesterol deposits. Now, that is an interesting conundrum, because we've recently been told that actually cholesterol is good, but probably there are... it depends how it goes into. I can't answer that one. Earlier, as young students, Sinclair had quizzed his teachers about why, despite the many advances in medicine, so many people in middle age were succumbing to chronic degenerative diseases such as cancer, heart disease, and rheumatoid arthritis. Why, in the more privileged countries of the world, he asked, did a middle-aged man have a life expectancy of only 4 years longer than a century earlier? In Scotland, life expectancy was actually decreasing. After the war, Sinclair returned to the Oxford University and started to looking for answers. In the article in the British Medical Journal of December 1957, he wrote that the most likely cause was the deficiency of essential fatty acids. These are the unsaturated fats, including omega-3s and omega-6s, that the body needs but cannot make for itself. They have to be supplied by diet. Sinclair found that these fats were key to protecting people against conditions like heart disease, lung cancer, and leukemia. He showed that the processing of foods almost always reduced the levels of essential fats, along with the vitamins of E and B6, which were needed to make these fats function efficiently. He became highly critical of the growing farming practice of feeding starchy grains to cattle, sheep, and pigs. Today, farmers feed far more cereal grains to their livestock than ever before. Much of the meat eaten in Western countries comes from factory farms, concentrated animal feeding operations, CAFOs. Large numbers of animals are crowded together in sheds or yards and fed grain-rich, starchy diets. Like human beings on similar diets, they too get fat. Because they're kept in such unnatural conditions, they're also likely to be hit by infectious diseases. They often need to be treated with antibiotics and other medicines. As hunter-gatherers, we feasted on animals that were inherently healthy. Today, the animals we eat are likely to be unhealthy. So there you go. There's a little snatch of Grass-Fed Nation, Getting Back to Food We Deserve, by Graham Harvey, who has also written, I think I may have mentioned it, We Want Real Food was one of them, and The Destruction of the Landscape.
or The Countryside, I think it is, The Destruction of the Countryside. Two marvellous books that I would thoroughly recommend. He is a light bulb in a world of darkness in the world of farming. Did you just fill up the kettle?
Yes, and it's been on.
Oh, excellent. Did it go well?
Yes, it's...
Would you like me to make the tea now?
Would you mind?
Not at all.
Did you want coffee or tea?
No, I think I've had a coffee. I'm fed up with coffee now. I'm going to have tea.
Tea.
I wouldn't mind an Earl Grey, but I don't think we've got any Earl Grey.
No, we haven't. I've got some coming with my next good food order.
Yes, I have... got to get some myself.
You have... What now?
I have got to... get some Earl
Grey.
I'll have to have these. That's the last of the PG. Which I don't mind, because it's shit tea anyway.
We haven't bought any Kent and Sussex tea for a while.
No, we must make an order.
All up except that. What's that?
Pine needle tea.
Oh.
Which is nice.
Why did we buy so much of it?
I was given it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes, when I was ill, that's from almost last year, that was pine needle tea. When I was ill, somebody gave it to me. Very nice of them. But anyway, just going to have basic tea this morning, which I am told has a lot of fluoride in it.
We need to get on the road. Fluoride in what, sorry?
In the tea.
In
because
tea?
Of the water. Well, the problem that we're all having is that even grass-fed stuff, if they water the, you know, the animals,
fluoride
the water may
it.
Well contain all these other bloody diseases. So we can, you know, as much as one can say, oh, well, I'm eating as healthy as possible, we're still digesting whatever is in the water that they water the animals with. When we have our place, we will make sure the water is filtered.
Yeah. The animals will be drinking the best water we can give them.
Well, absolutely. And also, I want to have the water constantly on the move through rocks so it mineralises.
We're going to have great fun designing this system.
Yes, I want an irrigation of going through like little sort of culverts and things where it's constantly going through little waterfalls and things like that, and solar panels to pump it up. Not massive solar panels all over the bloody place, but just, you know, using solar panels in a way that's actually useful and not...
counterintuitive.
Yes, and doesn't involve too many young kids going down bloody mines. So that you keep the water moving, because water moving is alive, and if you can then go through rocks, it imitates what it does in nature, and it will mineralise it. If you put in the right minerals, and the animals will thrive. And of course you'll filter it to begin with so that it's got rid of all the nasties. Anyway, that's one plan. So many interesting plans. Oh, my battery is getting low. So I better end it now. Julia's about to head off.
Did you tell the listeners?
No, I didn't. I deliberately didn't tell them. What?
No, stabbed a hole in that bag. Anyway, we were watching the other day one of your old programmes.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
The Dimwits.
Oh, the Dimwits.
What
oh, yes.
did we discover in there
yes.
on one of the buildings?
Oh, yes, Biggleswick Park.
Yeah.
Yes, from 2001.
Hmm.
And I've got... I can't remember if I still got some of the old signage.
Yeah, you certainly got crest.
Yes, I've got a
coat of arms
crest that was on the car, on the comedy car, the Dimwits car, B for Biggleswick.
Hmm.
And of course also it was used in the Boneheads.
Yeah.
And it was B for Boneheads.
Yeah, of course. Indubitably.
So Biggleswick and Boneheads, I used some of the same props.
Hmm.
So Biggleswick Park was the
coined
town
by
hall.
You quite
Biggleswick
some time
Park
ago.
Town hall, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. By our account,
yeah. Some people have said that when I refer to Biggleswick in the main videos, that there's some other guys who've done some drawing about houses that look like teeth, which are the dentists. And
I think it's Kid's Book.
A Kid's Book.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's inevitable that you come up with a name for something and somebody else is also using the name. It's not like it's an... You know, this is not a corporation trying to sell... things under a brand name. It's just the name of a town, a make-believe main name of a town. It is anyway, I came up with it in
Years ago,
yes. In fact, before these other guys came up with it. And for all I know, they saw mine.
And took that, yeah.
Because mine was a children's
program,
and theirs was in 2014 or something, or 2004, or whenever it was, a long time ago now. Hmm. Anyway, you're about to go, aren't you?
I must depart, unfortunately.
Yes, well, I will see you off. I will say goodbye to the viewers, and then kick you out of the house.
Excellent.
In the traditional manner. With a big boot up the bum. My darling.
Is that the boot called kisses and
yes,
kisses?
Yes, it's kisses. It's just a different technical term, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want to let them know how loving you actually are.
No, for goodness sake, don't tell them
goodness.
That.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Anyway, thank you for listening if you did, and if you didn't, thank you for not.
Have a great day, everyone.
Toodle pippin'.